I owed the IRS $10,000.
The IRS garnished my wages.
They put a lien on my house.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world. They do not give up until you pay.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited. I called Tax Solutions Now, and a great big weight was lifted off my shoulders.
I called Tax Solutions Now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Tax Solutions Now had my wage garnishment lifted in 48 hours.
Tax Solutions Now can get you help. Our agents know the rules, can stop the pain, and get you the best deal. We connect you with a team of former IRS agents and tax professionals who will get the IRS off your back.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Call Tax Solutions Now. Time is running out.
Call 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166.
From the campus of Yale University, this is Business Talk with Jim Campbell, nationally syndicated across the country on the Biz Talk Radio Network, and coming to you from our flagship stations, Yale Radio WYBC and 1490 AM WGCH Greenwich. All talk and all business, 60 minutes of radio with leading figures from the world of business along with the business of politics and sports.
Is Donald Trump psychologically fit to be president? We get an objective assessment from a leading professor of psychology. That's today on Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Dan McAdams is the Henry Wade Rogers Professor of Psychology and Director of the Foley Center for the Study of Lives at Northwestern University. That's a mouthful. He's the author of George W. Bush and the Redemptive Dream, a Psychological Portrait, and the Art and Science of Personality Development. He's got a recent, much-noted cover story in the June issue of Atlantic Monthly, The Mind of Donald Trump, A Psychologist's Guide to an Extraordinary Personality. Welcome, Dan.
It's great to be here.
Great to have a Midwest guy in a big university like Northwestern. Before we go, make it clear that this is not meant to be and wasn't done as a hit piece or anything like that.
Yeah, that's right. The Atlantic had the idea of doing the article back in February, and they wanted an objective and dispassionate approach, and so I tried to hold the line on that.
And give us a brief on what is the ethics of your business of doing this kind of thing without actually talking to the guy or, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, let me say that we asked Mr. Trump for an interview. We didn't get a yes on that. But the ethics are pretty clear. I mean, what you don't do is offer any kind of diagnosis. You don't offer any kind of ultimate assessment of the man's mental fitness. And indeed, I'm not trained to do that anyway. I'm not a clinical psychologist. So what I'm doing instead is looking at basic ideas in personality and developmental psychology and seeing how they apply to understand what Donald Trump is all about.
Okay, as you call him an extraordinary personality, in what sense do you mean extraordinary?
Well, I think what's extraordinary about him is that on the one hand, he seems so authentic to many people, and on the other hand, many people will say, you know, it's Donald Trump playing Donald Trump. It's like he's always playing a role. So one of the goals in the article was to try to understand the role. You know, what is the public persona of Donald Trump? Can we use psychological categories that are well validated to understand that role? But then can we get behind the role? Can we find the motivations, the goals, the story of his life that's in his head that provides the backdrop or the more subtle features of the personality? And that latter charge, that was a challenge.
All right. And we are going to, in fact, go through that process. Let me take us to reality first, and you can put stuff in context. He had that recent press conference on the charitable giving to vets, and it was really an amazing performance. Some even called it a meltdown, but it was sort of unprecedented. I mean, it made Nixon look like a low-key guy. I want to run through some things and see what you think they might relate to this. The first one is sort of, could it have been a conscious distraction strategy? Because he'd been kind of caught up until May 24th when the Washington Post came up that he hadn't really given the $1 million or given a lot of the other money yet. Could it have been a straight approach of trying to just distract folks away, or was it a childlike temper that he can't control?
You know, it could be both. I mean, Donald Trump has this instinctive ability. It's really pretty extraordinary to lose control in extraordinarily strategic ways. And I'm not sure he thinks it out. I mean, it's something that seems to come really natural with him. So I think on the one hand, it was a rant. It was an out-of-control kind of thing. But at some level or another, he's going for an effect. I don't know if it's conscious or whatever. And so I feel that a lot of times when I watch him in press conferences or, you know, when I watch him do pretty much anything, he's acting. He's playing a role, mm-hmm. but he's so into the role, he's so simpatico with the role, that the role becomes him. And ultimately, there's some sort of strategic advantage he's going for, if not consciously, at least unconsciously.
Okay, now, there was some criticism of your piece that, you know, saying that Trump is sort of a narcissist is pretty obvious. You don't need a doctorate for that. But obviously, you explained why you weren't going to be bluntly that. But let me read you this by another one. Joseph Burgo, a psychologist and author of The Narcissist You Know. This type of me versus everyone mentality and behavior is often a narcissist's way to try to hide feelings of emptiness and shame. You don't need a doctorate in psychology to wonder whether a man who feels the need to forever trumpet his superiority might feel an entirely different way underneath. This gentleman doth protest too much, me thinks. Emptiness, shame, insecure underneath, would you attach those things to Trump? Can you relate to it?
Well, let me say that I agree and I disagree with the quote. I agree on the one hand with the idea that narcissism is an important feature of Donald Trump's personality. Although I don't think it's the only thing going, it is something that is almost impossible to avoid. And when I think of narcissism here, I don't think of it as necessarily a bad thing. I mean, there's actually research to suggest that narcissism can be related to positive things as well. But it's self-reference. It's this idea that the number one goal or priority in my life is for others to adore me and for me to love myself. And so this constant reference he makes to himself again and again and again, and how it is that his name is attached to everything, that's narcissism. Now, the question is, where does it come from? And one view is consistent with what psychologist said, and that is that he's trying to hide something. He's trying to make up for an emptiness, for a loss, for some sort of early frustration. I just don't see it in the case of Donald Trump. I don't see any evidence from his childhood that he wasn't affirmed. I don't see any evidence of shame in the sense that, you know, I've got to prove that I'm better than, you know, my childhood suggested I should be. Donald Trump has been promoting himself since second grade. I don't think it's because he didn't have good experiences as a kid. I'm not sure that there's an emptiness inside of Donald Trump. I'm not sure what's inside of Donald Trump.
All right, let me ask you.
I don't think it's an emptiness.
Okay, narcissism can be good because it can be charismatic, leadership, et cetera.
Right.
But let me ask you this. A narcissistic personality disorder, and I'm not asking you to diagnose it with him, but what is that briefly, and would such a disorder make someone unfit for a big job like that?
Well, we're skating on thin ice here, at least with respect to the ethics of it. I mean, I don't want to pronounce anything on a narcissistic personality disorder. I mean, the narcissistic personality disorder is an entity that clinicians have developed or invented. There's a number of criteria, a sense of grandiosity, an inability to be empathic with other people. There's a whole host of things that actually go beyond what I'm describing in narcissism as self-reference. But yes, there is a disorder. They talk about it almost as if it were an illness. And from the standpoint of a clinical psychologist, okay, which is what I'm not, the diagnosis of a narcissistic personality disorder is a fairly major thing. I don't know if you could say that it would make somebody unfit for office to have that particular illness. I don't even see it as an illness, so I try not to go there too much.
Okay. I want to look at three factors related to him, the con man, failures, and bullying, briefly at each one. On the con man one, is whether it's bait and switch, Trump University, pyramid scheme, Trump network, all that stuff, is it the result of an incurious mind just greedy for money as opposed to a con man?
You know, I don't think he's an incurious mind and greedy for money. I what he's greedy for is winning. He wants to win. Mm-hmm. There's this great piece, a quote in the Art of the Deal where he says, you know, I don't really care that much about the money except as a way to keep score. And I kind of see that's what that Donald Trump's all about.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to be number one. He wants to win. How do you keep score in the business world? Well, one way is money. There are other ways. And so I think that's what it means to him. But I don't think of him as greedy in the sense that he's trying to accumulate all this wealth so he can have this wonderful lifestyle, going these beautiful vacations and so forth. I mean, the one part of that is he wants to have beautiful women around him, and he likes to be around beautiful things. But it's really mainly about winning. And I see that as really a key to his personality, being number one. And he's running for the biggest office in the world right now. He wants to win it. I'm not sure he wants to be president, but he wants to win that damn election.
All right, let me ask you this, the emptiness, shame, that kind of stuff. Would it be possible that on a subconscious way he's trying to trip himself up? Because he spent his entire career building up this brand, and here he is now often offending different groups and having a lot of his businesses come under scrutiny that they may not be able to withstand. Why would he do that?
To win. I mean, I think he wants to win it.
So it's not a subconscious thing that he wants to out himself as – sort of a fraud.
It's an interesting idea. There may be something to that. I just don't see any evidence that he's ever tried to do that. I mean, he says the most outlandish things again and again, and then you think, oh, my God, he's crossed the line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when he criticized John McCain, he crossed the line. When he went after Mexicans, he crossed the line. Muslims, most recently, after a federal judge.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to hurt him, and if anything, it wins him even more support every time he does these. I think at some level he knows that these strategic outbursts are going to help him win. So I don't see it as an effort to kind of like bring himself down.
Okay.
Now, he may end up.
We've got about 45 seconds, so this is going to be, you have to be quick on this one. The failures, bankruptcies, et cetera, how does he deal with failure?
He denies failure. I mean, he doesn't call them bankruptcies. These were brilliant moves with the casinos and so forth in his mind. These are ways in which he comes out on top. Donald Trump doesn't have any failures in his personal life story. It's one victory after another.
Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Over the Biz Talk Radio Network, 350 stations around the country. Go to biztalkradio.com, find the station closest to you. Listen over the Internet or access our archive of podcasts. Next, we'll talk about who is Donald Trump through the lens of psychology.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
Has your life changed? Are you now in a situation where you need health insurance? Here's some simple advice. Call our health insurance hotline right now. This free service will do all the work for you. Shop the health insurance marketplace and find the plan that best meets your health insurance needs. Don't get lost searching for plans on your own. Let a licensed agent help you for free. According to a report on CNN Money, Almost half of those eligible for subsidies are paying less than $3 a day for bronze or silver plans. Remember, under Obamacare, most Americans qualify for health insurance. So get ready to let us do all the work for you and find out the best health insurance plan for your needs. Call this number now.
800-659-7975. 800-659-7975. For your free health insurance quote, call now. 800-659-7975. 800-659-7975.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
BizTalkRadio.com.
And our guest is Professor of Psychology at Northwestern, Dan McAdams. And before we get into your methodology, I want to just follow up on one point on, you know, this Donald Trump childhood that didn't look like it had anything but love underneath it. There's one thing, though, that bothers me, which is the older brother, Freddie, who basically slow motion committed suicide because of Donald will even say because of his father's intense pressure. You don't think that some of that intense, almost brutal pressure might be part of Donald's psychology?
I think there was pressure. There's no doubt about it. I mean, and I think Trump will say that his father was a little tough on the older brother, but the older brother had a lot of problems that went beyond the family. I mean, there was alcoholism here.
Mm-hmm.
There was a sort of indulgent approach to the world. I think there's an issue there. I think that Fred Trump, encouraged his sons to be killers. And what he meant by that is it's a tough world out there and you've really got to fight. Donald was able to fight. Freddie wasn't.
Okay, let's move into this now. There's a big five kind of ways of looking at this, which you talk about, and particularly extroversion and agreeableness. Take us through the prism.
Sure. So the way I think of it here is if we look at Donald Trump as a performer, as a social actor, we can evaluate him on five basic dimensions of personality. These things have been well validated over many years, fundamental traits, and they're extroversion, agreeableness, conscientiousness, openness, and neuroticism. And all five are important in everybody's life, but there's two of them that stand out with respect to Donald Trump and the way he performs on a day-to-day basis. The first is extroversion. He's off the map on this one. Extroversion, it refers to being outgoing, gregarious, socially dominant, high energy. You're not going to find a more extroverted social actor out there than Donald Trump. So he's off the map high on that one. And he's off the map low on agreeableness, which refers to humility, care, empathy, altruism. I mean, that's not Donald Trump, right? I mean, he's the low end of that one, so much so, really, that when you look at past presidents, they've all been rated on these traits. The most disagreeable one you can find, according to historians and psychologists, is Richard Nixon. But he leaves Richard Nixon in the dust on this. I mean, he's really pretty amazing on that. So high extroversion, really, really low agreeableness, those are the two that stand out. And I don't think we've really ever had a candidate who has that mix just like that.
Does it make him sort of inappropriate or lacking an understanding of politics?
Well, you know, these traits are mainly about how you perform emotionally and, you know, what you're like on a day-to-day basis. You could, in principle, have a trait profile profile like that and have a very subtle mind and have a clear understanding of politics. I don't think he has those things, but I don't think it's so much related to the traits. I think it's something behind the traits, the idea that he doesn't really delve into the world of ideas. He doesn't really have a philosophy and all that kind of thing. But the traits are about behavior mainly and emotion, and that's where you see the explosiveness, this really high energy, I'm going to make a big mark, I'm going to take a bold risk, I'm going to have an impact on the world, and at the same time, I don't care very much about how this affects other people in a negative way. And that's where there's the lack of empathy, no concern whatsoever for the collateral damage that may occur from a result of his bold actions.
Now, this being low on the agreeableness spectrum, you say can be associated often with untrustworthiness and dishonesty?
Yes. Yes. You know, agreeableness, it's probably not a very good word for the term. I mean, it's a fundamental trait that's valued in all culture. How nice are you? How warm and caring? I mean, this is at the soul of humanity. And to be low on that, so low on that, is really disconcerting. It is indeed associated, as you suggest, with outright lying. I mean, there's lots of evidence to suggest that people who are very low on this agreeableness trait tend to lack trust. People don't trust them. And indeed, if you look at Donald Trump's speeches and so forth, you don't even have to look at them, but they've actually, you know, rated him, PolitiFact, and 75% of the statements he makes on the campaign trail are out-and-out lies. All politicians lie, but he's winning that race by a mile. I think Hillary comes out 29%, and the other Republican candidates much lower. Trump is leading the league in lies.
I wonder what that says about us and the media. Neuroticism, you say, is always bad. Now, I've done an interview on psychology related to hypomania, which we won't dive into, but the professor said Clinton, FDR, and JFK, and it's often grandiosity coupled with some reckless behavior like sex. Do you think that that neuroticism is always bad?
Yeah, I think when those folks are talking about JFK and hypomania and all that, yeah, I think they're talking extroversion for the most part. High risk, socially dominant people who tend to be highly gregarious. They also take big risks. Neuroticism is a little different. Neuroticism is about experiencing negative emotions. You're anxious all the time. You feel vulnerable. Okay. You're subject to periods of sadness. We all do this at one time or another, but some people chronically so. I think when it comes to neuroticism, Trump's probably pretty low on that. Not as low as President Obama, who's weirdly low in neuroticism. It doesn't really seem to suffer from these kind of anxieties and fears as much. But Trump's pretty low on that, too, I think. It's not a problem for him.
All right. If we look at what would appear to me to be a healthy type president mentally, Gerry Ford or George H.W. Bush, and contrast it with a Nixon or an LBJ, do you put Trump in there? And is Trump a deal maker like LBJ potentially?
Well, on the traits, I think that the profile that tends to get the best press is high extroversion and low neuroticism and high agreeableness, high conscientiousness. So Trump's a mixed bag on the traits. When it comes to cajoling lawmakers and making deals, LBJ did have an ability there that probably unmatched in terms of – it had to do with his knowledge of other people's weaknesses and strengths and so forth. Trump has a little bit of that, but he has so little experience in the political world that it's hard to imagine he could be like LBJ in that regard. LBJ also suffered from extraordinary insecurities and so on.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know about that with respect to Donald Trump. I mean, he's kind of a mystery. When you try to get inside the black box, what's going on in his mind, it's frustrating. It's hard to know.
All right, let me ask you this. Often we look at presidents and what big setbacks they had in their life, and I think you say this, that his brother's death is the big setback in his life. What did he get out of that besides he doesn't drink?
I think what he got out of that is that you can never be weak, although I think he had that already. I mean, this is sort of Donald Trump's motto in life. You have to be a fighter. You have to be strong. You counterpunch all the time. You can never show weakness for a second. Freddie was weak in his mind. Freddie succumbed to alcoholism. Freddie couldn't stand the rigors of the business world. He loved Freddie. He admired Freddie, but he saw Freddie as a loser that way. So I think that's the big take-home there. But, you know, he's had a lot of other setbacks, but he doesn't see them as setbacks. I mean, like three marriages, those first two didn't go so well. He's had other areas where he's been defeated, but he never admits the defeats. The only one he actually ever sees as really negative is the death of Freddie.
This, we're down to a minute, too, by the way. He's been known as germophobic, which, again, is also strange to translate into the political world. Does that link up psychologically somehow to these looking at threats as groups, Muslims coming in, Mexicans coming in, that kind of thing?
There's a metaphor there that, you know, you don't want to be corrupted by foreign things. And so the germophobia fits the theme. But even if you didn't have that in there, it's clear that he appeals to that in people. This fear of the unknown, this fear of the outsider, this fear of being contaminated by foreigners or things that aren't, you know, like at the heart of the American, white American dream. So there is a connection there, I think, yeah.
This is Talk with Jim Campbell. Coming next, we'll look at Trump in the White House.
U2 America TV, featuring original live programs created with you in mind. Engage with shows through social media and the U2 America app. America Trends with Dr. Gina covers the trending topics of the day and allows viewers to interact with the show. Sully's Biz Brew is business with a barroom slant, delivered with a twist. Visit U2America.com to find a channel near you. U2 America, red, white, and you.
I've owned my company for 14 years now, and I can tell you that payroll is a four-letter word. I hate doing it. It eats up hours I don't have, and it costs me money I could be saving. But my accountant's too expensive, and I'm not sure who to call. But I know I need help.
We're Paychex, and we take all the hassles out of small business payroll. We save you time and money. It's easy. Call, fax, or give us your payroll information securely online, and we take care of the rest. We calculate the correct taxes, manage payments and direct deposits. We even send out your checks. Payroll doesn't need to be a four-letter word anymore. We're so sure that we can save you time and money that we'll give you a month's payroll free. Just for calling 877-726-3369. Get 1 month's payroll for free. Call Paychex right now. 877-726-3369. That's 877-726-3369.
Hey, Bob, how's business? Is the new website helping?
Not good. I can't figure out how to get the website finished. How did you do it?
Easy. I called Web.com. They built my website for free. Then they promoted it on all the search engines.
Like Google, Yahoo, and Bing?
Exactly. And Web.com has helped grow my business so much, I had to bring on new staff.
Call now. 1-800-535-9652. That's 1-800-535-9652.
There is no upfront charge for building the website, after which the ongoing fee applies. Rights to the website are relinquished upon cancellation unless otherwise purchased.
This is a national health care alert from the Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You could qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Get free delivery, and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers at no charge to you. So if you're on Medicare and have knee pain, don't wait. You may qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost. Friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have other pain-relieving braces, too, for your shoulder, ankle, or back. You may be eligible to get these items and more at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Our friendly representatives are standing by now to help you, so please call now.
Call 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301. Again, 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information, and then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-933-5775. That's 800-933-5775.
BizTalkRadio.com.
And we're back. We're talking with Dan McAdams about a recent cover story he did in the June issue of Atlantic Monthly called The Mind of Donald Trump, A Psychologist's Guide to an Extraordinary Personality. I want to talk about or get your assessment on what you think his decision-making style would look if he was in the Oval Office, and the risk versus the fact that he could be a disruptor change agent that we need.
Right. Well, I think when Donald Trump imagines himself in the Oval Office, to the extent he imagines it, actually I'm not sure how much he imagines it, because I think he mainly wants to win, but I'm not sure he wants to be president. But to the extent he imagines it, I think he imagines it pretty much the way he runs his business, and that is you make deals. You sit down with people and you drive a hard bargain and you try to get what you want. And there is something to that. I mean, there are certain features of the presidency that involve deal making, one on one or with people in groups and so forth. But a lot of what the president does, I think, has very little to do with that. So it's a kind of a mystery here as to what kind of a president he would be with respect to holding on to the role.
Okay, now let me ask you about this. Now, you've written a book on George W. Bush. You call him high extroversion, but low on openness to ideas, et cetera, which can be risky, which could result in Iraq. What's interesting on the predictability issue is he ran as an anti-nation-building guy, and his presidency may have failed because of it. Does that make this prediction thing almost impossible?
Yeah, to a certain extent it does. I think with respect to George W. Bush, that's a really good example here. Most people wouldn't have been able to – I don't think probably anybody would have been able to predict exactly what he would do. But what you might be able to predict are the sort of the style with which he would take on challenges in the White House. As a highly extroverted, low-openness guy, George W. Bush, when he made the big decisions and so forth, he's the kind of guy that would never look back, would never sort of consider alternatives and so forth. That's a cardinal example of low openness to experience. But it is difficult to predict. I mean, events come along and hijack a presidency. You just don't know how it's going to play out. So you just sort of have to kind of guess here based on character traits, based on temperament and so on.
Okay, let me ask you about this. Do you think that he would be able to have strong advisors surrounding him or sycophants?
Well, I certainly hope so. The advisor part, the strong advisors. Mainly Trump. Well, I'll tell you, he has brought into the business world people that you might not expect to be there, not necessarily because they're yes men and sycophants and so on. I mean, there are some people that sort of stand up to him in some cases, but he's such a powerful figure, he kind of does take the air out of the room. So if he were in the White House, it would be really interesting to see what kind of advisors he would surround himself with. The kinds that he has described tend to be people who have military connections, tend to be people from the business world, as opposed to people who have maybe more government experience or experience in, say, academia. I certainly would hope he would surround himself with people who would push back, who would give him alternative points of view. He might do that because I think he realizes at some level that there's a lot of things he doesn't know about the presidency, despite all the bragging and so forth. I mean, I think he understands that he's more of an instinct kind of guy, and the details are going to have to be filled out by others.
Okay, we're a business show predominantly, so let's talk risk management for a second. the incendiary language that he uses and the fact that we don't know whether he can really control himself, does that result in a potentially higher probability of going to war? And the second part of this question, is this going to be an either-or presidency, meaning a big success or a big failure?
Well, with respect to the first question, the incendiary language is dangerous in two ways. First of all, there's a lot of evidence to suggest, if you look at the kinds of speeches politicians make, that those who do engage in incendiary, power-oriented language, when they get into office, they do tend to be more likely to lead a nation into war, sometimes in justifiable ways, sometimes not. But beyond that, it's what the language does to the American people, or how it brings out anger in the American populace. And so this is, and in your enemies, so on. This kind of in-your-face incendiary approach, I think, is dangerous on the international stage because it provokes fears and incites aggression in others, other nations, and so forth. And you whip up the American populace to be all angry about things that may not be worth fighting about in some cases. With respect to the either-or kind of presidency, it's hard to see how a Donald Trump presidency would be a big success. I think there are so many challenges that a president faces. It just doesn't seem to me that he would be able to meet many of the more subtle challenges. I suppose if we were under threat in a huge way right now, like we were at war with an identifiable other nation, and it was kind of a mortal situation like that, a man like Donald Trump or a woman might be an effective leader during wartime to rally the troops, to bring everybody on board. That's the only kind of scenario, though, where I can imagine that he might enjoy success, and it would only be in that context.
Well, that's brilliant, leading into the next question, which is risk from grandiosity. There's sort of an inevitability on not being able to deliver on some of these big promises. And you can start from the business world at Trump University, for instance. But, you know, building a wall, getting Mexico to pay for it, deporting 11 million people, just talking companies out of moving, getting down to zero debt when his own tax plan adds $11 trillion. Isn't that all a recipe for just a huge popularity decline once he gets in?
It is. It is, and it's also part of that narcissism we were talking about earlier. I mean, one thing that narcissists, like, say, take Steve Jobs. He was a narcissist at Apple and so forth. He managed to stay on top because the man was brilliant and he had tremendous successes, like the iPhone and so forth. Even then, he was controversial and difficult. In the political world, whether you are promising big things or not, more often than not, you're going to fail. I mean, the best you can do usually is get some sort of compromise that's kind of half good from your side. So you're always going to have problems in the political world and in terms of failure and so on. And to make the kind of promises he's made, which are totally outlandish, I mean, virtually everybody outside of the Trump camp sees these promises as unfulfillable. I mean, you're setting yourself up for a huge fall. So, yeah, it's interesting to me that, I mean, he's not managing risk there at all. I'm thinking he wants to win. He wants to, but I just don't think he wants to be president. He just wants to win the election.
It seems kind of an oxymoron there.
Yeah.
let's move to something that sort of I see as an issue, which is his political gut, right? Because that's what he shoots from. Almost all across the lot, we'll talk about some of them on a long-term basis, would hurt us. They sound good in the short term. But I want you to contrast us with openness, because you kind of imply that he would be more pragmatic than, say, George W. Bush, who had low openness. But, you know, starting off, you got the China thing. He's going to put a 45% tariff or threaten it. But the folks that pay that are the very guys that would be voting for him, as well as it caused the depression. And you can do the same thing with the Mexican wall. We have a net out migration right now, and he's going to get Mexico to pay for it.
It was to keep Americans in as opposed to keeping Mexicans out. You know, there's openness can be good or bad. When it comes to Donald Trump, he will say almost anything and contradict himself, you know, within 15 minutes. And people who are high in openness sometimes do that because they're open to different kinds of ideas and so on. So you would never see George W. Bush doing that kind of thing, for example. I mean, people who have principles and are committed to certain ideas tend not to be open so much to things that are outside the box. So Trump is open to lots of different things. The problem is he's open to A and not A. He's open to, you know, hot and cold, and you can't do both. You have to kind of ultimately make a stand. So it's openness in the service of winning. in Trump's case. And there really isn't any kind of coherent ideology there, any kind of philosophy that you can count on. So I think in this particular case, his openness, yeah, it makes him a little bit pragmatic because he can switch positions left and right. But then you just don't know what he stands for in the long run, and that becomes a huge problem.
The authoritarian issue and maybe extra-constitutional behavior, he's called for war crimes against ISIS. He gives the nice kudos to Putin, for instance, and the guy in North Korea, Kim Jong-un. What does this mean?
Well, I mean, it's interesting when a candidate, his best support is from the dictator of North Korea, so that's not going to play too well in the general election. He seems to have a weird kind of fascination with other leaders who exert a sort of strong authoritarian appeal, he admires their strength and so forth. You know, they're number one. There's no doubt Putin's number one in Russia. He won, and ditto with the North Korean dictator. But thinking about these people as leaders rather than just winners, that's kind of a different question. So that fascination with these sort of folks, I think, does suggest that he sees himself like that, as a winner, as number one, but I'm not sure he has a clear vision of what that means in terms of being a president. And so I keep coming back to this idea that he wants to win, but I'm not sure he actually wants the office itself, or at least has thought through what that kind of thing would entail. And the authoritarianism, I mean, that's about, you know, having other people look to you as the strong savior. And he has that effect on lots of people, even evangelical Christians. This just amazes me. A man divorced three times, doesn't know anything about the Bible, calls 2 Corinthians 2 Corinthians. He gets endorsements from people like Jerry Falwell Jr. Why? Not because he's a great Christian or a humble man. No, because they see him as a savior. We're under threat. From whom? From ISIS, from the world order, from, you know, all kinds of forces that are taking away what made America great at one time. He's going to save us. He's going to bring back this great thing that we never had. This appeals to a lot of people.
Our last national segment coming up is Trump psychologically fit for the presidency.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices, a 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right, that's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370, 800-605-5370, call 800-605-5370.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
BizTalkRadio.com.
Our guest psychologist Dan McAdams on Donald Trump. We're going to dive into this a little bit, but just, you know, a big picture question. The mind of Donald Trump, risk, reward, is pride going to go with before the fall? Where do you come down?
I think pride almost always goeth before the fall, especially in politics. And so you do see a kind of a scenario here where he's setting himself up for a huge failure. If the failure isn't losing the election, the failure could be a disastrous presidency.
Interesting. Now, I want to pursue this because I'm not sure I totally understand it. Presidents have narratives of their lives, which are critical. He's George W. Bush, his transformation at midlife. You say that Trump's narrative is thematically underdeveloped. What does that mean?
Yeah. So most of us have a story about how we came to be who we are, and that story is an important part of our personality. It's behind the traits. And in the case of Bush, in the case of Obama, there were narratives that they lived by that defined who they were, and these narratives had an effect, for better and for worse, on how they occupied the office. In Donald Trump's case, it is very difficult to find the story behind the role. To the extent I could find anything, it was a very simple story about a warrior, a man who fights, who learned to fight from his father very early on because the world is a dangerous place. But that, you know, fighting why? What ideals does fighting promote? There isn't anything beyond that. There isn't any answer to that particular question. So the story that he has about himself is this almost simplistic comic book kind of superhero story. Yeah, we might have that when we're 18, but the man's 69 and he's running for the highest office in the land. You would expect a more nuanced, psychologically sophisticated narrative.
Does he have a complete lack of self-awareness? Is there a there? And you bring up the question that who are you when you're alone should be answerable to some degree.
It's the central question of the piece. And I thought when I started writing it, when I started working on it, that I would find more there, that there would be some kind of narrative behind the actor that helps us understand how Donald Trump sees himself. And the closest you can get to it is that he sees himself as a fighter. But that's not much of a narrative there. So I think when you get behind the role And he's always playing the role. It's Donald Trump playing Donald Trump. When you get behind the role, it's hard to find much of substance.
Mark Singer wrote a New York profile, a New Yorker magazine profile, and in there he has a great sort of term. Trump appears to have an existence unmolested by the rumblings of a soul. How would you interpret that?
It's a beautiful quote, and it's why I started the article with that. And my initial attempt was to find the soul, and I ended up thinking that Singer is probably right, although I don't use the term soul, but I would use the term a story, a narrative identity behind the thing. And there just doesn't seem to be a story there behind the role. So the point I think Singer's trying to make is this is a man who goes through life always being observed, effectively doing these roles. But when he's not in front of the camera, when he's not with other people, what's back there? You know, who is the Donald Trump? And it's just hard to find much.
Is he symptomatic of where we are now, that he would be the first reality TV president?
Unfortunately, he may be symptomatic as to where we are, at least with respect to reality TV and the whole cult of celebrity that seems to have kind of overtaken America in the internet and social media age. So in that sense, yeah, I think he's pretty cutting edge. I mean, he's symptomatic of certain kinds of fascinations that we have in our culture. At the same time, there are other things going on, too. And so, if he does win, I mean, it will be partly because of his starring in reality TV and the idea that he puts on these performances that people love to watch. He's entertaining. Some people vote for him, have said, listen, the other candidates are boring.
Now, Mike D'Antonio, who we interviewed, written a book called Never Enough.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is that behind the scenes before it came out, and it was just about the time that the Trump people were wanting to go, they wanted him to call the book Make America Great Again. And he, of course, went to Never Enough, which makes your point, I think. Another interesting part, and you can comment on this, is that he interviewed Ivana Trump, and, of course, she was glowing now, as the whole all of them are. But she called him back later. I don't know if this was actually in the book, and said that the way to look at Donald is he's a child.
Yeah, I know Ivana has said that and so forth, and she may be onto something. In some ways, he's psychologically undeveloped, and there's certain childlike features about him. I think D'Antonio's title for the book, Never Enough, gets at the narcissism part, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this idea that I want to win, and I can't win enough. It's actually a brilliant book, by the way. I think that's an excellent biography, and I use it to great effect, I think, in the piece. Ivana, she's got mixed feelings. On the one hand, mm-hmm. you know, he's the father of her children, and she did love him and so forth. They had business together. On the other hand, I think she feels that she knows him well, but I don't know if anybody really knows Donald Trump well, to tell you the truth. I'm not sure anybody has really gotten to the soul there, maybe because there isn't much.
Okay. Now, obviously, we got to put this into a relative position because we're only given the choice of two candidates, essentially. So, obviously, you can't dissect Hillary Clinton. But on the big five, do you put her in some category? Do you put her at a healthier level than Trump?
Well, the big five aren't necessarily about health, but there are big differences between her and Donald Trump with respect to the traits, and these are pretty easy to see. You don't have to delve deep. As a social actor, what distinguishes her from others? Probably the fact that she's so conscientious, and I mean this in good ways and sometimes bad ways. People high in conscientiousness are hardworking, achievement-striving, dutiful, responsible. They're always the adults in the room. They're always trying to take charge and so forth. She stands out on that, I think, more than most presidential candidates would. I think the other four traits don't say much, but for her, conscientiousness stands out. Conscientiousness is a little boring. It's the kind of thing that you might see from an establishment candidate like Hillary Clinton, who believes in the system, who wants to work through the system. That's the one trait, I think, that stands out in my mind with respect to the big five and Hillary.
That's interesting because she does sort of lack an overarching vision or radical or revolutionary type change policies. Have you had any feedback from the Trump campaign, and would you expect it to be of the nature of your loser sleazebag?
Unfortunately, he hasn't sent me a letter that I could put on my wall. I haven't heard anything. One radio interview I did said that Trump had responded and said he said the article was sad, terrible. But I'm not sure that's true. I think maybe the guy that was interviewing me made that up. I had no official response from the Trump people. I've had a lot of responses from people who support Trump, but not from the campaign.
Do you think that he would even read it?
I suspect somebody on his staff has read it. I don't know what he reads. He doesn't talk much about that kind of thing. It's another thing we don't know about him. He's up at doing stuff all the time, but I don't think he ever kind of kicks back and reads an article or a book.
We've had a very fast hour here, and I'll end it with a statement in your, which you've been talking about, which is fighting to win but never knowing why. Thanks to Professor McAdams of Northwestern University. That June Atlantic Monthly cover story again is The Mind of Donald Trump, A Psychologist's Guide to an Extraordinary Personality. And it's fascinating precisely because it's not a hit piece. You can look at it as a dispassionate piece. Next show, we're going to get an update from the last time she was on our show right after her recent profile on 60 Minutes. That's Rumi Khan, recently released from prison for insider trading with Raj Rajaratnam. The biggest criminal insider trading scandal in history. We're going to relook again at her struggle to rebuild her life. Thanks to Dan McAdam. Thanks to our national audience for listening. We'll see everybody next Sunday on Business Talk with Jim Campbell.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. BizTalkRadio.com.